I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly chimney. I'm back in the saddle. Every time it rains, I think of you, and that's the time I feel so blue. When the raindrops start a-falling, my love comes tumbling down, and it's raining teardrops from my eyes. Well, if you see clouds here in my eyes, it's just because you said goodbye. Although the sun is shining, there's no more summer sky, and it's raining teardrops from my eyes. Remember the night you told me our love would always be? I wouldn't be blue and lonely if you'd come back to me. Every single cloud would disappear. I'd wear a smile if you were here. So baby, won't you hurry, 'cause I miss you so, and it's raining teardrops from my eyes. Remember the night you told me our love would always be? I wouldn't be blue and lonely if you'd come back to me. Every single cloud would disappear. I'd wear a smile if you were here. So baby, won't you hurry, 'cause I miss you so, and it's raining teardrops from my eyes. It's raining teardrops from my eyes. Well, thank you very, very much, friends and neighbors. Nice of you to drop in on us. When it's springtime in the Rockies, I am coming back to you, little sweetheart of the mountain, with your bonny eyes of blue. Once again I'll say I love you, while the birds sing all the day. When it's springtime in the Rockies, in the Rockies far away.
All right.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I am not.
Our friends and neighbors, and thank you folks out there in the audience. That was mighty, mighty nice. Well, let's see here now. tell me, Raindrop.
You guess it, Mr. Dean. You sure guess it. Last night, my boyfriend, Rockingham Jones, proposed to me, and I accepted.
How romantic. Love, be doggone. Well, congratulations, Raindrop.
Yeah, that goes for me, too. By the way, Raindrop, just for my own information, what did you do when old Rockingham popped the question?
Well, I took my knee off his chest and quit choking him.
I knew it. You females have stooped to anything just to get yourself a poor, innocent man.
Now, wait a minute, round and repulsive. You a bachelor. What do you know about women?
Well, fat lady, I'll tell you. Now, maybe I ain't never bought nothing, but I've sure looked at an awful lot of samples.
Bought a lot of the samples for him, too, haven't you, kid? Now, look here, Patrick. If Raindrop wants to get married, that's her business.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Thank you. I'm glad somebody appreciates the finer things in life.
Finer things in life, she says. Why, Mr. Artery, do you remember last year when Willis Brubaker married Hilda Nettleburg?
Well, yeah, I remember something about it. So what about it?
Nothing, except that was probably the ugliest woman I ever saw in my life. In fact, that's the only wedding I ever been to where all the men rushed up to kiss the groom.
Well, just the same, I can hardly wait for that big, wonderful day. Yeah, when I come walking down the aisle wearing something old, that'll be my mother's dress. Something new, that'll be my new hat. Something borrowed, that'll be my sister's watch. And something blue.
What's going to be the blue?
My face. I bought me a tight girdle. So long, boys.
She refused me. She treated me loveless and cold. The last words she said when she left me were, "You'll never win me with gold." Love, love, love. You can't buy love. Gold can buy most anything, anything but love. True love, true love. Gold can buy anything but love. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. There's no greater riches than love. And no man can buy true affection, because that's a gift from above. Love, love, love. You can't buy love. Now, folks, I'd like to tell you a story. A story that all began several years back in the little border town of Mesa Vista. I was working as a deputy United States Marshal at the time and had just finished an assignment up near Rock Springs when Bob Evans, the district supervisor, called me into his office.
Sit down, Gene.
Well, thanks, Bob. What's on your mind?
Well, to get right to the point, smuggling.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that's all started up again.
Sure has. Bigger than ever.
Narcotics?
Mm-mm. Medicine.
Medicine?
New drug called X-25, to be more specific. Seems it's plenty scarce below the border. As a result, some wiseacre is smuggling it across in a little town called Castega, then selling it down there for a terrific profit on the black market.
Holy smoke. Where's it coming from, Bob? Any idea?
No, not for sure, but we've got a pretty strong hunch. Seems 3 weeks ago, somebody broke into a closed ward of the Capital City Hospital, 20 miles north of here, got away with over $100,000 worth of stuff. We think that's the supply that's going into Mexico.
Makes sense. Okay, Bob, I'll get to work on it right away. In fact, if you've got no objections, I'll leave for Costega tonight.
Good. Check with the commandant of police when you get down there. One more thing, Gene. Be careful. The last deputy we had working on this same assignment turned up floating in the Rio Grande with a knife in his back.
Senor Autry, I'm most happy to see you. Sit down, please.
Thanks.
Now then, I suppose Captain Evans has told you most of the reason you are here, no?
Yeah, but I'd like to check the details again with you.
Of course. In that case, let me bring you, up to date. You see, Senor Autry, as Commandant of Police, I know whoever is doing this business is very clever indeed. For example, first they let some of this X-25 out on the market that is perfect, 100%. Then, when they have gained the confidence of the people, they gradually substitute the diluted medicine. In that way, before the buyer knows it, he is either terribly sick or, as has happened in a few cases, dead.
What about your men? Haven't they been able to dig up any leads, any evidence?
See, but my men are also hungry, senor. The sight of money is oftentimes too much for them to resist.
Sounds to me like a pretty messy situation all the way along the line.
I am afraid that is right. Now, Senor Autry, if you will excuse me, I have an appointment elsewhere. Oh, I have secured accommodations for you at the Castega Hotel. Perhaps we can talk again in the morning, eh?
Good. In the meantime, I'll do a little checking on my own. Incidentally, for any reason you should want me, why, I'm not at the hotel. You can always check with me through the Sergeant Stone at the Border Patrol Station.
Bueno. Hasta mañana, then.
Hasta mañana. And thanks for your help.
It is my pleasure, senor. I assure you. Adios.
So long.
Sucker.
Yeah, boss? What's up?
Oh, it seems our stupid presidente has called in another one of those meddling marshals.
So what? We just take care of him the same way we took care of the last one.
No, Sucker. No, this time I think we shall take care of this marshal in quite another way.
Yeah? How?
Think, amigo. Think. He will be making many trips across the border between here and the state side, no?
Yeah, but so what?
So, why do we not let him transport our medicine for us?
But, boss, he's a United States Marshal. You must be kidding.
About such matters, I do not kid, Zucker. Listen, the plan is a simple one. You will go to Mesa Vista and make yourself known to Senor Autry in a manner which I will tell you later. You will then receive the X-25 medicine from our regular source. After which you will secrete small quantities of it beneath Senor Autry's saddle whenever he is planning to return here.
But, boss,
I will arrange to have the medicine removed when the marshal arrives. In that way, we run no risk of being detected by the border authorities. Think it over, my friend. The one man who is after the mouse will himself be carrying the cheese.
Of course, at the time, I had no idea of the conversation that took place after I left the local police chief's office. In fact, little did I know that 2 days later, I was falling right in with their plan. You see, I'd just been up checking a few records with Captain Evans and Mesa Vista. By 4 o'clock, I'd finished and was getting a bite to eat before I headed back to the stairs, when a funny-looking little guy came up to my table and said,
"Buenos dias, senor. Your name is Autry, no?
Maybe. Why?
May I sit down?
Help yourself.
Gracias. You are searching for the smugglers of the medicine? Is that not true?
What makes you think that?
Zaka knows much of the city of Castego. Sometimes I hear things that are known to very few.
Yeah? For instance?
For instance, I know about the business in black market medicine.
What about it?
You are going to Castega now, see?
Suppose I am.
In that case, it'd be wise for you to check the boutique, the drugstore, numero 8, Calle del Sol. And now, senor, I must be going. Perhaps we shall meet again.
Hey, wait a minute.
See?
How come you're so interested in all this?
Revenge, senor. Revenge. My brother Raymond was very dear to me. Die because of the bad medicine. This is my way of making things, how do you say, even up.
You sent for me, boss?
Come in, Sarka. Come in.
How's it going?
Amigo, you will be happy to know we are now in possession of a substantial quantity of the medicine X-25. And all brought into this country by the Senor United States Marshal Autry.
Good. Because just between you and me, I think he's getting a little suspicion of all them bad leads I've been giving him. Even though you are covering most of them up.
Do not worry. Now that he has served his purpose, we shall dispose of Senor Autry quite permanently.
You mean the same way we did the last one?
No. No, nothing quite so crude as that this time, Zaka. This time, we shall dispose of Senor Autry by a method known in America as the frame up.
I don't get you.
You will presently. Now then, this afternoon in Mesa Vista, you planted another parcel of X-25 beneath the marshal's saddle, true?
Yeah, but I still don't understand.
Hand me the telephone. I want to put in a call to the border station and report a smuggler.
Oh, Sam, oh. Hi, Tim. How's it going?
Well, hi, Dean. You're just the guy I'm looking for.
So is that so? What's up?
Hey, guess what happened late this afternoon? As a matter of fact, just about 3 hours ago.
Well, don't tell me you became a mother.
Well, no. But something almost as crazy. Some guy called up from Castega and he says, Sergeant Stone? How he knew my name, I don't know. Because all we guys go by is numbers. Anyway, I said yes. And he says, Sergeant, I can't tell you where I got this information, but it's absolutely accurate. Now, get this, he says. Check under the saddle of a United States Marshal named Autry, and you'll find the answer to all this X-25 smuggling that's been going on. Ain't that a kick? You smuggling medicine.
Hey, wait a minute, Tim.
What's the matter?
Are you sure nobody outside of your family and the Border Patrol Service know your name?
Well, of course I'm sure. I guess they figure the less anybody knows about our personal life, the less liable we are to bribe. Seems kind of silly, but... Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, Tim, help me loosen this saddle.
You lost your mind. What do you want to do that for?
Skip it. I'll do it myself. There.
Okay, so now you got the horse's saddle off. What's that you got in your hand?
X-25, Tim. About $500 worth, I'd say.
What? Where did you get that?
Never mind the questions now. I'll tell you when I get back from Castega.
Hey, but this is against the law.
I know it is. Here, keep it for me. I'll pick it up later. Come on, Tim.
Up, boy. Come back here, Gene Autry. Come back.
Tim, let's roll.
Well, Zaka, by now our friend Autry should be safely in the custody of his own organization. Incidentally, I imagine it will be somewhat difficult for him to explain the reason for that medicine being beneath his saddle.
Yeah, I can just see his face now.
Turn around, I'll be glad to apply.
That's right. And may I suggest you both keep your hands right where they are? Well, well. How's my little informer friend Zaka tonight? You look slightly disappointed.
How'd you know where I was?
Be still, Zaka. He knows nothing.
I wouldn't say that for him. For instance, I know you called the Border Patrol late this afternoon and tipped them off that I was coming through with quite a haul of medicine hidden under my saddle.
I see. You can prove that, I suppose.
Very easily. And since you asked directly for Sergeant Stone...
What's that got to do with it?
Everything. You see, all Border Patrol men are known only by number. However, that first morning I saw you, I told you that if you ever needed me in an emergency, to contact me through Sergeant Stone. That meant outside of me, Sergeant Stone's family and his employers, you were the only person who knew his name. It's for you, Zaka. I've been wise to you for quite some time. I decided to play along with you, though, just to see who was giving you orders. Now I know.
I didn't do nothing. It was him. He was the one
who... Zaka! That was a very pretty speech, Mr. Autry. Convincing, too. You have, however, overlooked one thing. I also am clever. You see, I've been expecting this might happen, so I have wisely prepared for it. I am truly sorry it has to be, but certainly you must understand my position. With you alive, I am, dead. With you dead, Doris is quite alive.
Well, you're right there. But aren't you overlooking this gun in my hand?
Guns are for fools, soldiers, and meddlers like yourself. Unfortunately, your predecessor had to find it out the hard way, just as you will.
Now!
Oh, you know.
Go!
You're not hurt, Torres. It's only a flesh wound. It may stop you from throwing any more knives for a while, though. Now, what do you say? We all head for the Border Patrol station. I've got a strong hunch they're going to be happy to see you two. They may just ask you to be their house guest for a long, long time. Take me back to my booth and travel.
Back in the saddle again.